When you hear something that sounds like a gunshot, drive.
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here is my co-host, Angie Han.
Hello.
So we are down to just two again this week because Christy is off visiting family, but she'll be back with us next week. And this time around, we're going to talk about two things. Our small topic is going to be the new Hateful Eight trailer, and then we're going to launch into our big review of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. So first, Hateful Eight. If you guys didn't know, a brand new trailer, the first trailer actually, right? The first trailer?
Yeah.
The first trailer dropped this week, and it is the new Quentin Tarantino movie, and it stars lots of cool people like Kurt Russell and my favorite Samuel L. Jackson. I love him in it. And it's basically about, like, all of these, like, fugitive bounty hunter bad people, and they're all out in the wilderness, and then a snowstorm comes in, and they're all stuck together. And I think all the point is that all of them want to bring in this one fugitive to make a lot of money. So, like, things get all crazy when they're all snowed in together. And I think this thing looks great. I mean, it looks and it feels like a Quentin Tarantino movie, which makes me really hyped because it's been quite a few years now since Django Unchained. And we need a little QT in our lives.
Has it really been that long?
It does. Was it 2 years? 2013?
It does really feel like, you know, very Quentin, like, from the energy of it, like, the style, like, it feels very Quentin Tarantino, also that cast, you know, like, Samuel Jackson. But my favorite part of the trailer was Jennifer Jason Leigh, who actually, I don't know if she gets any lines. If she does, she doesn't get many, but just the way that she moves and her facial expressions, you can tell she's, like, she's unhinged. She's, like, a crazy person in this,
and I just, like, love watching her. When they walk into that room and she, like mimics being hung. That's my favorite part of the whole trailer. Because, like, not only are her facial expressions right on point, but the comedic timing of everything is so on point, too, that it just makes it even funnier than it would be if she just made that face.
Totally. And Kurt Russell, I guess, he's my second favorite person in the trailer. Like, he gets a lot more to do and say. But it's just, he looks like he's playing this really colorful character and just having fun ripping into it, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to having a Quentin Tarantino movie that takes place in, like, a confined space in a way with, like, certain set players, too, because, you know, like, Django and Inglourious Basterds, they had key players, obviously, but they felt like really big films, and this, to me, seems like, we're gonna get, like, the Eight, and that's it, and we're gonna focus on that, so I'm really looking forward to this.
You know, it's just a teaser trailer, so, like, you get the general feeling of it and the basic premise, but I feel like I don't have that much to say about it right now, because it's just a teaser. Like, all it's supposed to do is get you excited that there's a Quentin Tarantino movie coming, and, you know, on that front, mission accomplished. I'm really excited for it.
Isn't it refreshing that it didn't just blow the entire story in the first trailer?
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
It's like a genuine tease.
Or alternately, one of those things that's just like, look, it's a teaser, and then all you get is, like, just, like, the title, and then, image, and you're just like, that's not even a teaser, I don't know. Yeah, so, yeah.
We don't need any of that. All right, so yay for The Hateful Eight. Now we're on to our big review of the week, which is The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Angie, you want to introduce that?
Yes. In the early 1960s, CIA agent Napoleon Solo and KGB operative Ilya Kuryakin
This is why I wanted you to introduce it.
Excuse me, I am still talking here. Anyway, these two fine gentlemen participate in a joint mission against a mysterious criminal organization which is working to proliferate nuclear weapons.
Oh, I'm so glad I didn't read this. And it's funny too, because I was editing an intro to an interview for this that I was doing earlier, and like when I edit I read out loud and I get to their names and I would just butcher it and I'd be like, well, no one's here, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but in that one I even tripped up over like regular words like mysterious and proliferate. Like it just, I had flashbacks.
There's a lot of big words at the end of that sentence.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so you know, this is a new movie by Guy Ritchie. Henry Cavill from Man of Steel plays Napoleon Solo. Armie Hammer plays the other guy whose name I clearly don't know how to pronounce. Alicia Vikander is in it, Elizabeth Debicki is in it. And it's basically just, it's like 2 hours of these incredibly gorgeous, even by Hollywood standards, people in incredibly gorgeous, even by Hollywood standards, clothes, just like zipping around these like gorgeous locales, flirting shamelessly with each other. There is like Pierce Brosnan era Bond level, like, double entendre here. Like, they keep making Henry Cavill do, and he pulls it off really well, I thought.
He's so freaking charming, it's incredible. Because, like, really, I mean, what do we really know him from besides being Superman and Immortals?
We know him from being the guy that was almost in a bunch of things. Like, he was almost James Bond. He was almost Superman before. I just read today that he was, like, almost in Twilight. Like, any movie that you can think of that was major in the last, like, 10 years, apparently he was almost in.
And the only movies that he actually got to make, like, strip him of all of his charisma. And apparently he's got a lot of it, because in this movie, he is so freaking charming, I can't handle it.
I want to say something about his charisma, though, because even in Man of Steel, that's a movie that I just saw recently.
Really?
I did, for some reason, I didn't see it when it first came out, and then I didn't want to watch it anyway. So I saw it recently, and he was one of the only things I liked about it. Like, I felt like the movie gives him so little to work with, and I was surprised at how much of his charisma still kind of shone through. So I was really happy that got the chance to showcase it more in Man from U.N.C.L.E., he completely pulls it off.
Oh, I was kind of the exact opposite in terms of my reaction to Man from Steel, where I don't think it was his fault, did I just say Man from Steel?
Yes. Sorry, we're very loopy today, clearly.
I'm gonna stop. Okay. In Man of Steel, I think he's so freaking wooden, and it drove me off my mind, and I thought there was just nothing to him at all, but I don't necessarily think it was his fault. So when I saw him in this, and he's just, like, the complete opposite, I mean, I completely fell for him, and I completely fell for Armie Hammer, too. I really feel bad for Armie Hammer. He's another guy that, like, needs to be getting some better roles, because he has so much to offer. He is so good in this.
Armie Hammer is the guy that's, like, been on the verge of being huge for, like, so long now.
Well, he killed it in The Social Network, and then he just got, you know,
he kept signing on for things that just kind of didn't work out. Like Mirror, I thought he was fantastic.
I thought he was great in Mirror too, and I kind of liked Mirror.
No one liked the movie. No one saw the movie. I think it did okay.
It's just the fact that, like, you know, after Social Network, he was on the verge of stardom, and then none of the movies he picked matched that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there was J. Edgar.
Yeah,
that was quite the blow.
Anyway, but yeah, I thought both of them were good. I thought all the cast members had good chemistry with each other, too. Like, they're really fun together. Armie Hammer has a lot of scenes with Alicia Vikander, and they have really great chemistry that the movie just, like, has a lot of fun teasing and drawing out.
Alicia Vikander's character is the daughter of the nuclear scientist guy.
It's so futile to try to figure out the plot of any spy movie.
I kept getting her father and her uncle confused for a little while when I was, like, recapping the story. But anyway, she kind of has to team up with the two of them so they could take Elizabeth Debicki's character down, but I'm not even going to try to say her last name. But, like, she wants all this nuclear weaponry, and they need to bring her down together. But I like Alicia Vikander. I think she's totally fine in this, but, you know, she kind of got overshadowed by the two of them, and I also think that Debicki's villain character made a little more of an impression than she did.
I thought that they were both fantastic. Alicia Vikander, you know, you're right, like, she doesn't have as many flashy moments, but she's just, like, really fun. Is like this, yeah. You know, she seems really timid, but there's, like, a lot more to her. She's, like, really, like, she's got this, like, kind of like a feisty, rebellious streak to her that I really enjoyed. Elizabeth Debicki, though, has a more showy role where she gets to just kind of, like, swan around and, like, you know, dripping with jewels and, like, designer clothing and just, like, you know, bat eyes at Henry Cavill, and it's fantastic.
I said this during my interview with her. I'm like, you know, I don't give a shit about fashion ever, but, like, you are just mesmerized. Like, her outfits and, yep, like, her hair and her makeup and her jewelry. I mean, I was just sitting there, like, holy shit, the entire movie, and it was, like, I don't care about that stuff. It was really surprising.
I mean, it kind of felt like that was the whole appeal of the movie for me. I don't mean, like, just her, the way she looks, but just, like, I felt like I spent 2 hours, like, you know, wrapped up in this, like, ridiculous fantasy where everyone's good looking, everything's good looking, everything looks like it, you know, all the food looks like it tastes great, all the drinks look like they taste great, everyone's having fun and flirting and, like, yeah, okay, there's a plot to, like, destroy the world or whatever, but we all know how it's gonna end, yeah. So it's just, like, you get to just kind of sit back and enjoy, like, watching everyone kind of bounce off of each other and be fun. I do have my one major complaint with this movie is that it really, like, it's really slack. Like, if he had tightened it up, it could have been, like, this fun, zippy summer movie, but as it is, it kind of just drags on too long.
I get that, too, and I think because he puts a little too much attention on the plot. Like, I think he thinks that the audience wanted, you know, more of, like, a convoluted James Bond Mission Impossible type thing. And, like, really, they could have done whatever, and we didn't even have to know any of these details, and I kind of would have just, like, been along for the ride and enjoyed it. But it gets bogged. It's like the thing I was talking about with the father and the uncle. I think it gets bogged down by a little, like, too much detail. But
yeah, it kind of felt like, it felt to me like when I watch a Judd Apatow movie where, like, I can't pinpoint, like, one, like, oh, if you cut out this one big chunk, it'll be fine. It just kind of felt like every scene goes on a little too long, there's a little too much going on. Like, I wanted them to, like, pick up the pace.
I was going to say something similar. When I walked out of my screening, I recognized the fact that the movie was too long, but when I was kind of, like, rehashing what I had just seen, I think all the scenes, like, as standalone scenes work really well, and I would have been sad if I hadn't gotten certain ones.
Yeah. Oh, but speaking of the scenes, there's I want to talk about the action in this movie. So there's one big action set piece toward the end of the movie, which was actually my least favorite part. My favorite action scene is one where there's a boat chase scene where we're just watching it from the perspective of, like, inside a car. So it's just kind of going on in the background, and it was one of the most, like, It was one of the most fun, like, scenes in this movie, because it's just, it totally just upends your expectation of what that scene is going to be.
Now that I'm rethinking about all the little parts, there's so many things I love. Like, I loved that scene. I loved the scene where a certain something lights on fire when it's not supposed to. Without spoiling, like,
that was a scene that kind of happens in the background,
and that,
which is,
that,
like,
was, like, my kind of scene, too, and I got the biggest kick out of that. I thought that was just the funniest thing. And I also like the part that they focus on in the trailer, too, where it's Alicia Vikander's character driving the car, and it's that whole chase sequence, and Armie Hammer's character rips the back off the car. Like, that was just such a genius way to, like, get us into the movie, introduce us to all the main players, and, like, with no exposition, really. Like, we just saw what they were capable of right there.
Yeah. The accent work, I will say, is a little bit spotty. It's really weird because they have a British guy playing an American playing a Russian, a Swedish actress playing a German. They have Jared Harris, a British guy, playing an American with the worst American Southern accent I've ever seen. It took me until, like, halfway to the movie to realize that he was actually trying to sound American Southern. I thought he was just a British person with a weird accent.
Yeah. No. Hammer... His accent didn't bother me, but maybe
it did bother me, and I suspect it's just because, like, I'm not that familiar with Russian.
I think it's just because, like, I couldn't really assess it anyway, so it's like, what am I going to say about it?
That's what I suspect. Henry Cavill's accent is a little bit more like, it's kind of like, it reminded me a little bit of Jude Law in Spy, where it's, it's not really wrong, but it just sounds a little too precise, a little too, like, clean and crisp. You know, like, it doesn't sound relaxed or natural.
Yeah, I can understand that. Another thing that I loved about this movie, I mean, we were kind of hinting at it before, was just the way that everything looks. This might be one of the most beautiful movies that I've seen all year. Like, where I was literally sitting there watching the movie, and I could freeze frame almost any frame of this movie, and it's, like, worthy wall art, you know? You could hang it up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he has a lot of, like, little stylistic flourishes, and some of them are more, you know, more obvious and noticeable and call attention to themselves than others. And some of them, I'm like, I don't know why you're here, but why the fuck not? It's the kind of movie where you're just like, is it fun? Okay, sure, then just throw it in, it's fine.
This would have been, like, probably one of the biggest hits of the summer, I think, if he had just embraced that a little more and tried to be a little less smart about it and just stuck to making it fun and, like, an adventure.
I think if he had tightened it up, I would consider it one of the best summer movies of the summer.
Yeah.
By which I mean, like, it's specifically, to me, this felt specifically like a summer movie where you're just supposed to, like, go in and enjoy it. Kind of like, you know, Magic Mike XXL or Mission Impossible, the most recent one, where you just, you know, you go in and you're, like, not looking for any depth. You're just looking to be enveloped in this, like, fun cinematic fantasy for a couple of hours. And the only thing that kind of, the only thing that stopped it from being on that level to me was... Just the fact that it's a little too, like, slow, and it's not like I ever got bored, but it was just kind of like...
No, I never got bored.
The style looks zippy, but it doesn't feel zippy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and they should look at the way that they cut that trailer, because it's, like, the zippiest trailer ever.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? It's great. But, like, when I walked out of this, I was comparing it a lot to Mission Impossible because I had seen them back-to-back and because they're both spy movies. And
they're similar in a lot of ways, yeah.
Mission Impossible is the better movie. It's like, more well done and well shot and the story stronger, all that. But I think I might have had more fun with Man from U.N.C.L.E. Like, I walked out of this movie with the biggest freaking smile on my face. And I think it was mainly because I was so incredibly charmed by Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer, and also because, like, it was so pretty. I mean, like I said about her outfit, I was, like, mesmerized by this whole world. It's like they all really could have just, like, been sitting there, like, twiddling their thumbs, and I probably would have been like, you know, like, just, like, I love you all.
Okay, so if we're going to compare it to Mission Impossible, I thought that was it's a better movie, and I feel like in the moment it was a more exciting experience, and that the pacing is a lot better in Mission Impossible. But Man from U.N.C.L.E. almost, like, Mission Impossible kind of fades away the second you walk out of the theater because its thrills are so visceral and so immediate that they don't really stick with you. I didn't think about that movie at all after. Yeah. This one, I mean, it's not like I've been, like, staying up all night thinking about it, but it gave you this, like, really fun world and characters, like, really bright, colorful, unique characters and universe that you can kind of just, like, that you kind of just want to live in for a little bit longer.
So true. I kind of do. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope they get the opportunity to make a sequel.
I really hope so, because
it's, you know, I mean, maybe it's the fact that it stems from a TV show. Something about it felt to me more so than many other action movies or spy movies even. It felt like they could go on another mission and it wouldn't just be like, oh, another mission to make more money, you know?
So without giving away how it ends, like, you know, they kind of set it up so that you can imagine these characters getting together for, like, more adventures. And not only that, but, like, you really want them to. Like, I did walk out of the theater being like, this is a really fun, like, cast that they've assembled, and it'd be a shame if this is the only time they ever got to team up.
I think a lot of that also has to do with how they handled the dynamic of the characters. It's like, in a way, they left it so, like, there's more to be discovered about their relationship, you know? It's not like I'm, like, not articulating myself well at all. But there was something where they didn't, like, say, okay, like, at a certain point of the film, this is how it's going to be, this is how these people operate. So I kind of wanted to see what the next stage of their relationship was going to be like and how that would affect what they're doing.
No, I know what you mean, because a lot of this movie is about, like, the two, you know, Napoleon and Ilya kind of coming together. It's kind of like when you watch, like, the first Avengers or the first Star Trek, where, like, so much of that movie is just how do we get these people together, and now that they're together and we understand their dynamic, I'd like to see how it plays out. But actually, while we're talking about franchises,
that was a much better way of explaining it, where I was, like, trying to tiptoe around spoilers.
But while we're talking about that, one of the things I appreciate about this movie is that it feels like a complete fucking movie, at a time when, like, it seems like every blockbuster is like, we have to tell you half a story so that you'll pay more to come back for the next one. I was like, it's nice to see a movie where I want to see a sequel, not because it gave me half a story, but because I want to live in this world and hang out with these characters and, like, ooh and awe over how gorgeous they all look and their gorgeous exotic locations a little bit longer.
I feel like I'm kind of trained to assume at this point that every summer movie is going to spawn a sequel. And I like walked out of this movie with that mentality, but it wasn't until I was doing my interview, because I asked the two of them, I'm like, so are there any parts of these characters that you didn't get to explore in the first movie that you would like to in a sequel? And they said something along the lines of, you know what's nice about this movie? Like, as much as we'd like to do a sequel, it's a complete movie. And like, right there, you can see, like, my expression, like, if you look at the B-cam footage change, I'm like, huh, it really is, like, a nice little neat movie, and if there wasn't another one, I'd be totally satisfied, but if there was, hell yeah.
Yeah, if there was another one, I'd be disappointed I don't get to see them again, but it wouldn't be because it left me hanging.
Yes.
So it's about time we wrap up. In conclusion, I know that I feel like it's been getting mixed reviews, but I, just speaking personally, I thought it was a lot of fun. I probably won't, like, rush out and watch it in theaters again, but when it comes out on, like, HBO, I'm totally gonna have it on in the background all the time so I can ooh and ah over how great it looks.
Yeah, it's sitting at a 66 on Rotten. I'm glad it's fresh, but I like this movie a lot. Like, I would probably say this is probably one of the most fun times I've had in theaters all year, and I just walked out with a big, big freaking smile on my face. I loved it. Highly recommend it.
And so, it made me want more for all four of the actors. It made me want them to do
absolutely
bigger things.
Right there with you. So that is a wrap on episode 78 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You know where you could find us, but just in case you don't, iTunes, where we would like you to subscribe, and it would also be super helpful if you rated and commented there. And then we have our website, popcornprosecco.com. Please like us on Facebook. We are also on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco, and then there's the YouTube channel as well. And then both of us are all over the internet. Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch my writing on collider.com, and my Twitter handle is pnemiroff.
And Christy isn't here, but you can find her on Twitter at Christy Puchko, and she writes all over the web, but you can find her career highlights at decadentcriminals.com. I think I got that right.
I think you even did, like, her intonation, too.
Nice.
That was great. All right, thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next week.
Don't you make me put you over my knee.